Hello, everyone. Welcome to this special episode of The Diz Unplugged. I am Craig Williams, and today we are going to be discussing Disney Genie Plus, Lightning Pass, individual attraction. I forgot the last letter of it.
Selection.
Individual attraction selections, and probably a whole lot more, and we'll try to keep everything as straight as possible. Thank you, Mike, for the assist. Hey, joining us in this discussion today, we have Dreams Unlimited travel agent Mike Finucci.
Hello, everyone.
And then, of course, Rhino.
Hi. Well, I'm sorry. Was Genie an acronym?
Did I make it an acronym?
Well, you said you forgot the last letter.
Oh,
so I didn't know if you were trying to spell something.
Individual attraction selection
or IAS if they're being abbreviated. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So yeah, I'm already getting all stumbled up right from the start here. I know a lot of people are really excited and waiting to hear Pete's reactions to this, plus a lot of news. I apologize. You know, this is the first time we're going to talk about Genie, Disney Genie. The news was released yesterday on Wednesday. This is going out on Thursday afternoon. We weren't able to have our weekly Diz Unplugged show this week because unfortunately I was at home sick, and I'm still on the path to recovery, but we're going to push through this so that way we can get this news out there. And then on Tuesday we'll be able to hear Pete's thoughts on everything from Disney Genie and Lightning Lanes and everything. I keep wanting to call them lightning bugs. I don't know if that's just the northeast in me that I have to like stop because I'm just so used to saying lightning bugs and not lightning lanes. So I'm probably going to screw that up a couple times.
Somebody online said we should be calling them Ka-chow Corrals.
Oh
my God. I love that.
I hate that.
Wow.
Well, yeah. So we're going to go over all of that and just give our thoughts on it and help break it down. And we're going to have a fun conversation, and we'll try to field any questions as we're going along the way with this. But wait for Tuesday for Pete's full thoughts on this and more. But before we do get started, I want to remind you, this is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. If you like our content, you want to support us, please consider booking your next vacation through Dreams Unlimited Travel through one of the awesome agents that we have, like Mike Finucci, who is on this very special episode that we're having here. And of course, they're going to look out to make sure that you have the best vacation possible, whether it's Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Universal, whatever destination you want to experience. They'll make sure you have the best time, make sure that you save the most money possible, or, you know, if you want to spend as much money as you possibly have, then they'll also assist you in going through an extravagant vacation, but they're just there to make sure that your vacation is as good as it possibly can be. So head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com today for a free, no obligation quote. Okay, let's get on with the meat and potatoes of this discussion, and that is going over everything that was announced with Disney Genie. And guys, as we're going through this, feel free to interrupt me if I'm saying something incorrect or if you have a statement to make on it. I think we'll probably just go in order. I know that everyone wants us to get to Lightning Lanes and Disney Genie Plus replacing Fast Pass and Max Pass, but I feel like we should probably just go in order because that's the logical way to do it. So we will jump around if we have to. But what all was announced was, of course, Disney Genie, Disney Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, and individual attraction selections. And basically, Disney Genie was announced couple of years ago, back in 2019 at the D23 Expo as a new way to help you plan for your Disney vacations. And we now know that it is coming to both Walt Disney World as well as Disneyland. And the base service of Disney Genie is a complimentary in-app service that's already available through My Disney Experience in Disneyland, their special applications. It's not already available, but it will be available through those, is exactly what I meant. I want to get every single word of this correctly, so that way there's no confusion. And this is going to help make Disney parks less planning ahead oriented and allow for a little bit more spontaneity in your vacation, but also it still gives you the option to plan ahead as much as you want or as little as you want. It's just another way to give you control over making sure that you have the best vacation possible. And basically, the service is going to help you just map out your entire day based on what you say you love. So your itineraries will show up in the app and will be updated throughout the day, so that way you can help maximize your time. And so, yeah, let's say like you say through Disney Genie that you definitely want to hit something like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad or Pirates of the Caribbean. It'll tell you when the wait time's a little bit lower than usual, what time is a good point to ride if you want to hit that. But it's not just limiting to rides. It's also going to help you with a lot of the other things that you want to do while you were at Walt Disney World, like have mobile order be available through that, dining and experience reservations, restaurant check-ins, and, then, of course, yeah, it'll also have that forecasted wait times and a personal tip board for you and just serve as your virtual assistant. And it's completely free. And yeah, it's just available for to use. And I don't know. I wasn't excited about Disney Genie when it was originally announced. And Disney Genie as a base, being a free option included in My Disney Experience or the Disneyland app, still not really sold on it.
I think one of the things that I'm a little excited about with at least the Genie portion of it is it's going to help, I think, streamline the apps a lot. Because right now, you know, for dining, you've got to go in the dining section to book reservations, look at availability, that sort of thing. Then you have to jump to wait times to see those, everything like that. I think the nice piece is it sounds like it's going to have a much better user interface where you're going to have all of that available in one location. From what I've seen and what I am looking at, if that makes sense, with the tip boards and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that. Yeah.
I mean, I do appreciate the idea of having the app tell me like, oh, this ride is having a lower wait time than it normally does. You should head over there now. I do like that. You know, Universal had a similar function in their app that is kind of similar, mm-hmm. where you can set wait time, preferred wait time. So that way, if it drops in there, it's supposed to send you a push notification. So you can mm-hmm. do that. Or if an attraction's down, when it finally reopens, it'll tell you, hey, it's open now. And, I like the idea of it, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's just another piece that keeps you glued to your phone the entire vacation to constantly check that.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, even more so than the My Disney Experience app, because now it's just like you have to constantly be like, I feel like it's gotten to the point where you gotta just be holding your phone in your hand the whole time, or you're gonna miss it. You know, like you can't put it away or anything like that. And also, I just have this nightmare, like it's gonna do this thing, I feel like, where it's gonna play ping pong with people and like send them like racing over to one side of the park to then get there and be like, oh, the wait time went up to an hour and a half from 10 minutes because of the app. And now the other ride went down. So that people are just going to be like, I get the idea of the streamlining, but I feel like it's going to have this other effect where it's just going to kind of send people into a craze a little bit, you know?
It very well could. Yeah.
Yeah, and my question is, are they going to have it? Is it going to be? I mean, they're using AI based stuff in it from what I've seen. My question is it going to like manage the crowd in that sense? So it's going to give some people, you know, notifications to go to one area and others to another. So it doesn't just drive all traffic to one attraction at a time based on those wait times. My guess is it'll be a little more intelligent, but we'll have to wait and see.
It also comes down to all of this being like, okay, the attractions need to be diligent about making sure that their wait time is accurate. So that way it can post that information. And, you know, that's not always the case at all with any Disney parks. And, you know, it's nice. It's a nice surprise when you get in line for something and find out that it's a shorter wait. It's also a bit annoying when, you know, you find out it's actually longer. And then there's some people who are like, oh, you know, I've been avoiding this attraction all day thinking it was 45 minutes and everyone's saying it was only a 20 minute wait and I would have done it. So they're going to need the wait times to be like right on point with this in order for it to actually work the way that they want for it. They want it to. And then also make sure that there's no glitches, that there's no app crashes, that this information isn't not getting delivered to you, because, you know, that's where it'll come into a good, it'll come into handy when you have something like a smartwatch that it can pop right up. So that way you don't have to constantly have your phone in your hand. But if the app's just crashing and not working, then you're never going to get that information. So It's going to be tough. And then, of course, too, for international guests, once you know, more of them are visiting the parks too, Disney Wi-Fi is going to have to be 1,000% reliable all the time, everywhere, unless they're paying for data packages and SIM cards and all of that fun stuff. So it's a lot. It's a lot that needs to go right. And if it does, it could be cool.
Right.
But do we have anything else to say about the free version?
I hope it doesn't become a diaper genie, a Disney diaper genie. I just needed to work that in somewhere.
The only other thing that I kind of enjoy with it is the whole like telling it your wishes that you want it to grant for the day. I think that's a cute little spin. If it works the way that it's supposed to, I think it's going to be really nice in that sense and helping guide some of the guests that we have that don't want to do all the advance, that don't like the advance planning, and want to be more spontaneous with, identifying, you know, what's available restaurant wise, that sort of thing as well. All of that kind of makes for a more free flowing vacation, assuming it works. And that's the piece.
This sounds like how when it wasn't oh my gosh, what was it called when it first started, the digital fast passing? It was like My Magic Plus or something like that, right?
Yes.
And remember, like that whole pitch of that at that time was that you were supposed to give it the three attractions you wanted to ride, and it would scramble it and be like, okay, well, you're going to ride it at this time, and this time, and that was the original idea, is that it was going to help you plan that part of your day for you, and then that quickly went wayside. I just already don't like using my Disney experience because I do not have a lot of good luck with it, or historically have never had good luck with like fast passes with it and everything like that, as being a cast member for as long as I was and then an annual pass holder. And so like it does kind of stress me out to have to rely on this, but it's like what you said, it's either gonna, maybe it'll work great, like, you know, Craig was saying, like if it works great and everything goes right with it, then maybe it will alleviate stress for people, and that's a positive, right? But I feel like historically Disney does not build very good websites, so it stresses me out a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, Rhino, you said that, and I remember the old days when My Magic Plus first came out, and it would make recommendations for fast passes.
Yeah.
And it would always recommend Barnstormer at like 8:50 p.m. every single time for me. And I don't know why that was never one of my things, but it was always Barnstormer right before closing. I don't ever understand why that was a thing, but that just stuck out as soon as you said that. I remember that it was always trying to get me to ride Barnstormer for some reason. Anyway.
Well, I think it's guaranteed that at some point in time, even if you don't select Goofy's Barnstormer as one of your favorite attractions with Disney Genie, it's still going to recommend you go ride Barnstormer.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Excellent. So let's move on to now the real fun parts of this, and we'll kick in with Disney Genie Plus. And this is, of course, what is killing FastPass, FastPass Plus, Disney MaxPass off for us. And it is essentially what Disney is saying is the next evolution of Disney MaxPass that was a feature available at Disneyland Resort, which I understand that. And so the background on it for people who don't know about Disney MaxPass, it was a paid option at Disneyland Resort. It was included in some of the highest tiers of annual passes as a perk of having those annual passes. But any day guests buying tickets could also have the option of adding on Disney MaxPass. And basically, it allows you to book your fast passes from anywhere in the theme parks once you entered into a theme park. And so that way you could say, oh, I want a rope drop over at Disney California Adventure for Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, but I know I'm heading over to Disneyland after and I want to ride Space Mountain. So you can book a fast pass for Space Mountain while you're over in Disney California Adventure. And with that being a paid option, you know, it didn't take away from fast pass. Anyone could still get a fast pass at select attractions, but you just had to walk over there and actually grab your fast pass, put in your park ticket, get your fast pass, do that entire process. And so it just kind of allowed you to make sure that no matter where you are, if you were in line for an attraction, any sitting down for a meal, you know that you can get your next fast pass without actually having to be in front of the attraction that you want to ride next. You don't have to worry about that. And then also another perk with it was that you got unlimited photo pass downloads for the day that you had Max Pass on your ticket. And that's awesome because photo pass is something that I feel like it's either hit or miss on how good your photographer will be, but if you have it included for free, literally just take advantage of it because you will get some good photos out of it and then you have them forever. So that's what MaxPass was at Disneyland. And so you can kind of get the idea then why Genie Plus is being considered very, very similar to that in the next evolution, because at Walt Disney World, Disney Genie Plus is going to be $15 added on per ticket, per person, obviously per ticket, and that's per day. Or at Disneyland, it's $20 per person as an available option to add on. And instead of opening up access through Genie Plus to FastPass lanes, you now have Lightning Lanes. So same thing, just changing the name. For why not? Why not just change the name? It's a lot more fun when you come up with something with fun alliteration like Lightning Lanes. But I guess FastPass also kind of has that too. But that's not really a point of any of this. And basically, with Disney Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes at Walt Disney World, there will be more than 40 attractions that do have Lightning Lane entrances that can be used with Disney Genie Plus. And at Disneyland, it will be over 15. And I went back and looked at the Fast Pass lanes that were there before the pandemic happened and FastPass hasn't existed. Walt Disney World, between nighttime shows, attractions, shows, they had roughly right around 60. And at Disneyland, it was just short of 25. I want to say it was 23 or 24, including nighttime shows and attractions. So the numbers that they're touting for Lightning Pass are obviously a little bit less than what was already currently there. And you know, in my opinion, that's kind of a good thing because we know that, like with Walt Disney World specifically, when FastPass Plus came in, It added fast pass lanes to a lot of attractions that didn't need them, like Journey into Imagination with Figment, Living with the Land, Muppet Vision 3D. Like there are attractions that Fast Pass Plus was added to that just plain never needed them. And hopefully part of this is going to be the elimination of some of those attractions that don't need them. But, you know, in terms of pricing, I think a lot of people were expecting Disney to rob everyone blind with the pricing, but and we still haven't even gone over all of the details with it, like the included, some of the extra inclusions with it, but just the pricing, looking at it at a base, it's not super scary yet at this point, but it's also not great, obviously, having to spend extra money to be able to utilize these lanes. It's just going to kind of come down to how many people are using them, because the more people that use them, the more it forces you to also use it as well if you don't want to have to wait in standby lines. Right. If that made sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And that's one of the things that I've seen going around in a lot of discussion boards, is there are people that think that they're not going to be able to ride anything without buying Disney Genie Plus. I think the important distinction is standby is still going to be available for everyone, if that makes sense.
Yes.
It's the Lightning Lane access is what Genie Plus gets you. So before everyone got Fast Pass, now you're going to have to pony up for it, sadly.
Yeah. And we'll continue going over some of the details. So Disney Genie Plus with the Lightning Lanes, that doesn't mean it's going to include every attraction. They gave the example that Lightning Lanes will be available, but not through Genie Plus at attractions like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at Walt Disney World. And then the example at Disneyland was Radiator Springs Racers. And attractions like those will have the option of either standby, or then the phrase I was stumbling over over and over again at the beginning of this, those attractions will have individual attraction selections available. And this is similar to what everyone lit their hair on fire over with Disneyland Paris, that you'll have the option to essentially buy into the Lightning Lane for each person in your party if you want. And with that, we don't have the pricing with it yet. It will vary based on the attraction and the time of the year, how busy it is. And with that, you can do two individual attraction selections per day. You can do up to two. So, and with the individual attraction selections, that also does include Rise of the Resistance, Spider-Man Web Slingers, and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, if you're not able to get into the virtual queue, which is still an option. You still can do those ones virtual queue, or if you don't get into them, you can pay to get in. And then for stuff like Mine Train and Radiator Springs Racers, if you don't want to wait in the actual standby queue, you want to bypass that line, you can throw money at it. And yeah, that's we were expecting it, so it's not a surprise, but yeah.
I'm surprised by the fact that it's a hybrid system where they've got some Lightning Lane and then some a la carte. I was expecting it to be one or the other. So I'm a little okay with this, a little more than I would have been if everything was a la carte, like Disneyland Paris.
I think a lot of people keep throwing out Universal as the like example, like, oh, Universal already has that paid per day system. But here's the thing about Universal with their paid per system. So when Forbidden Journey opened, right, there was no Express. It was one of the attractions where they're like, you can buy Express for the day, but it doesn't work here. Right. And because they were like, there'll be too many people because we know that's what's going to happen, and it ruins the line for people. And Disney's like, oh, forget that. You either get in this virtual queue or you pay to come into this ride. And that's the other part where I was like, I don't know. Like, I know that a lot of people are saying Disney is basically the only theme park in the world that had this free option. Right. And, but this is also historically, I feel like this is the first time they've really started to remove benefits of the average guest who go. I am not a person who likes Fast Pass at all. I think it got way out of control. I think it had a good idea when it originally started as being like, you're technically waiting in two lines at once because your body is over here. Well, you are technically have a line holder going over here. And that was the original idea. And I was like, that works because that maximizes, you know, that time of day. And then they just, when my Disney Plus came out, they flooded it. Like you said earlier, Craig, like Lights, Motors, Action got Fast Pass. It never in the entire run of that show, it doesn't really work there with how the timing and when you have to be back, and it doesn't guarantee it. So it made no sense. And it was just to make people feel like there were offerings in this park that didn't have attractions that it could work for. And like, and so they let this thing kind of get out of control. And now instead of just being like, let's just kind of get rid of it across the board, they're like, well, let's get rid of it. And then, you know, people can pay to have, I don't know. That's just something that makes it doesn't feel great to me is all. It doesn't, like if it was a flat system, I maybe just feel different, but the like adding in the a la carte thing, I don't know. I don't have a better solution either. I know I am a person who goes to the parks alone by myself a lot. Or I'm with like one other person. And if you're a family of four, like this all adds up so fast to an already exorbitantly priced ticket on top of now, like I don't know. It feels very elitist at this point. I don't know.
Well, it also comes down to how many people actually want to utilize any of this. If, you know, we've seen over the past year plus now without having Fast Pass, except, you know, some people do have Fast Pass, like Club 33 still has access to Fast Pass lines and other special circumstances, but for the most part, no Fast Pass. So standby lines, we've been able to see how nicely they move in normal operating procedures. And if people with specifically with the individual attraction selections for the popular rides like Radiator Springs and Mine Train, you know, for those ones, if everyone just says, I'm not going to buy it, we'll just all come together and agree we're going to wait in the standby line and not give Disney any extra money, then the standby lines are going to move nice. But if they price it at a point that it's intriguing enough, which I think personally, I think where you start to get intriguing is if it's around like the $10 range for some of the more popular ones, I think that's enough to hook people in. I think once you get up into $15, $12, $15, I know we're not talking about that much more, but when it adds up for specifically like for a family of four, if we want to go on the average like that, if you start getting into a family of four, that extra couple dollars here and there starts to add up a lot more quickly and it makes it not an option. But for 10, you know, you might be able to get some people in. And then if it becomes a thing where the line slows down a little bit and other people decide to start opting in, then it can go into a landslide and be crazy.
Yeah.
And I am afraid of it for that reason, but I think actually the one to be more afraid of isn't the individual attraction selections. I think it's more just Disney Genie Plus as a whole, because it's at a price point that isn't ridiculous, with it being $15 and then $20, and knowing that you get access to the lightning lanes. Granted, it's not the old way. It's legacy, so Disneyland people are already used to it. You can book one experience at a time, and then when you use your experience, you were able to book another. The one thing I haven't been able to completely confirm, I've asked a couple people, including Carly, like, will there be a fast pass design in there, like what happened with Disneyland, an old fast pass where, okay, let's say you get a fast pass that's not good until 8 o'clock, but it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Will there be a way that says like, no, you can get another one after 4 o'clock. Don't worry about it. Still haven't confirmed whether or not that's actually going to be included in it, or if it's going to be solely only one experience per time, but it's, you know, it's still, at least it is that method where you get to book one per time. And if you're staying on site, then you can start booking at 7 a.m., correct?
7 a.m. Yeah. If you're a resort guest, yeah, you can. If you're a resort guest with Genie Plus, you can book at 7 a.m., which is also currently the same time as the boarding group. So hopefully one of those moves before execution. Otherwise, you're going to have to choose between getting in Rise or booking your first lightning lane pass. My understanding so far, and I've asked for some clarifications too through our channels. My understanding is it's only going, like, Lightning Lane is going to be able to get you in the next available spot on the ride you want. So if you're, you know, headed towards Pirates and that's the one you want to use Lightning Lane on, and, you know, 20 minutes down the road is when that first available one's open, my understanding is that's when you can get it. So if you want a Lightning Lane pass for something that's more in demand and they've already distributed them earlier in the day, I don't know that you're going to be able to hold a second one. You may have to wait till whatever that first available is. I'd like to think that that's not the case, but the language that I've seen, it sounds like it's going to be dependent based on when the next available opening is.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about, because that's the only way I was reading it too. And it's like, I'm hoping that there is a leeway system built in, because I just, you know, in an ideal world, it will never be a problem where the next available time to ride with Lightning Lane will be hours and hours out. Hopefully they will make it that it is a thing where it's always relatively close by, so you can actually get your money's use out of it. But, you know, I also dread, because I have to think of the worst case scenario, that what if you pay for it, you use it once in the morning, and it's a super busy day and everyone else is using it, and it says, okay, well, the next available time to ride this ride that you want is 6 o'clock at night. And then after that, everything else that you want is gone. So you're like, oh, I paid $15 and I only got to do two things. Like, and I know that is probably never going to happen, but I am a pessimist, and so I like to think of the worst case scenarios.
I was going to say, my thought on it and my personal thing is, if I'm paying $15, I better be able to get in more fast passes than I did, or more Lightning Lane access than I did in the old fast pass system. So if I can't use it at least three times when that was free, it's going to be an issue. So my guess is that they've done enough research and priced it at a point where they have a general idea of how many people may or may not get it, to help manage that as well. Because I think that there's going to be some guests that just decide not to do Genie Plus.
Yep.
And then those that, you know, obviously will do it. So I think that that's another piece that's hard to predict, because we don't have any real data on what a paid system at Disney looks like before, if that makes sense, at Disney World at least, to really kind of get that sense. And with it being a little different with Max Pass, with not having the free Fast Passes as well, it just kind of leaves a giant question mark exactly what that supply versus demand will look like.
I think it also just devalued the annual pass a little bit more. I've already talked about this before, where I've had issues that when we renewed our annual passes this last year, they were the exact same price, but they didn't include the water park anymore. And then on top of that too, you can't, it is statistically impossible to, so if you buy an annual pass that has 365 days, no blockouts, you no longer could go to the park 365 days, but you are paying for a pass that essentially says, well, yeah, you are, but we've kind of put in a roadblock for you. So it's, you can't use it as much as you can. And so I now they're saying, now this won't be included or for an annual pass, like it can be an add-on, and that's, I guess, fine. But now again, you're like, okay, like it's, I don't know. There's just something weird here. I just heard a rumor today too that the possibility of annual passes when they re-release them for Disney World is what they're going to do for Disneyland, and that you'll have to pay for parking in every tier except for the top tier. And that again is another where you're like, God, I how much more can people take? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's already this, like, I get it. It's a multi-billion dollar corporation, and corporations are not here to be your friends or anything like that. They're a business to make profits and make the shareholders happy, you know, at the expense of the people who go. So I don't have a solution. You know?
Well, I mean, in terms of like parking, I will just be honest with it. I've never had anything under a platinum pass, even when I forget what the highest tier was before they kind of changed up Walt Disney World's passes before. But I've always had the pass that included parking and no blockout dates. I even when I worked at Universal, I just wanted to make sure I always had the flexibility. But I don't think parking was always included in some of the lower passes with Walt Disney World. I could be wrong. I know they definitely weren't with Disneyland. I could be wrong about Walt Disney World too, but I see my thing with annual passes with this is I still see it in Disneyland at the $20 price point and having, you know, Lightning Lane and Disney Genie Plus for 15 attractions. I think that is such a next step from MaxPass that it's not as big of a deal there. I think with Walt Disney World, it's where I'm not sold on it for like the benefit for annual pass holders as much. You know, it might be like a nice thing for a one-off every now and then, if you are one of the people who has an annual pass, but you only visit the parks once a month, so you want to maximize the most out of your day, I think it would be a benefit for that. But for people like you and I that we visit, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week, yeah, it's not something that we're necessarily, if we're going that often, we shouldn't need to use Disney Genie Plus, and also it's not really cost effective. I mean, maybe if you're someone like Pete who has more money than you know what to do with, but for us, I don't know if we're the target audience.
Well, the other piece with at least MaxPass at Disneyland, you could pay a flat fee to add it on for the length of your pass.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't see anything for that yet, at least for Magic Key. And I don't see any, I mean, there was a little bit of language in one of the press releases. I don't know it off the top of my head. Apologies, everyone. But it sounds like that may be something that happens at some point down the line, but it sounds like their intent is not to launch it with the ability to add it for the length of your pass at the beginning. I could be wrong on that, but I don't see where there's any indication of that yet.
I saw that they said that it's not for annual pass holders yet. Yeah. That you could go in and buy it like a day guest, but you can't do it for the other thing. But the thing with I have, and Greg has had it before too, the annual pass for Disneyland where it did include the Max Pass. But again, like I know a lot of people keep throwing this to Max Pass, and I think that's where they're trying to make it accessible to people, being like, oh yeah, we did have this pay per system. But the thing about it there was you weren't taking anything away from people when you did that. It was you were paying for the convenience of not having to, like you said, Craig, run from park to park. So if I wanted to rope drop for Guardians, he was literally describing me, and like you want a fast pass for another part of the park, you're like, okay, well, I don't have to do this ride and then go back and get the pass. I can sit down, I can do whatever, you know. And here it's not that. It took something away from everybody and to then have to pay. So that's why I'm like, I think MaxPass worked great as like a plus. Like that is the type of experience where I'm like, that's fine, because it doesn't negatively affect those around you by too many people having it. You know, everybody in the park could have had MaxPass and it really wouldn't have changed the FastPass experience that much, except for it would have just made more people's days efficient and stuff like that. But this is like, if everybody has Disney Genie Plus, a standby line is not going to work. Like, you know, like it's going to go back to what it was. Mm-hmm. It's going to, if you're just a regular guest, you're going to be stuck in a 2-hour wait for Pirates of the Caribbean, because it only includes those lower tiered attractions, not the top tiered attractions. So now you screwed out the person again. Like, that's what I don't like, is this sticks it to somebody.
No, you're fine. You'd start a glitching on us, sir.
Sorry. I was done. I was done anyway. Sorry. I know you were trying to say something.
Oh, no. All I was going to say is you hit the nail on the head. It's if it becomes a thing where everyone's using Disney Genie Plus. And that's where, like, I understand I am kind of like glancing at the comments that I'm not being harsh enough on Disney Genie Plus right now, and that I'm getting paid by Disney Genie Plus. But that's the thing. It's not.
Yeah.
Out yet. So until we know how many people are using it, we can jump to the conclusion that everyone's using it. And if you are one of the people who doesn't want to pay to use it, your experience is terrible. And I think that will be a reality. If everyone wants to pay to use it and you are in the group that doesn't want to pay to use it, yeah, your experience will be less. And that sucks. There is no beating around the bush on it. You shouldn't have to pay more to have to have a...
You know what it is? It's the internet from Silicon Valley. It's the new internet. Too many people used it, and that you remember how the show went? They're like, oh, we have this thing, and it works great when a certain number of people use it. It works perfect. But when then too many people started using it, it destroyed the whole system.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but until we know how many people are going to use it, I'm not ready to jump to this is going to be awful. It could end up being not impactful at all. And I guess that
you're right.
That's one of the things that I guess I bring from my theme park background. Like, there was days where, you know, at Universal, they've always done the tiered pricing for Express Pass, and depending on how busy it was, how busy it was going to get, that's how the price of the pass would fluctuate. And on some of the days when you're seeing attraction wait times all 10, 20 minutes and people are still paying for Express, it's basically just so they can walk a little less distance, because the wait times, you know, just weren't ever bad at all. And on those days, I'm like, okay, see, this is where we, if everyone would just be in standby lines, it's even better. It's completely unnecessary. And that could end up being a thing with Disney Genie Plus. People might just say, you know what? No one else is using it, so I don't need to use it either. But then all it takes is for the one person to say, oh, no one else is using it, I'm going to cut down my weights and maximize my time by using it. And then it rolls on from there. But until it's actually out, we don't even know.
We also don't know if there's a cap either. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there is something in place to stop it from happening. And I did just see in the comments, somebody tried to make I feel like it was a sassy comment, but somebody tried to say, if everybody has it, doesn't that mean no one's in standby? And then I don't think you have a fundamental understanding of how that system works, because it means that if everybody has it and there's like 10 people in standby, it means the 10 people in standby are going to wait until that lightning lane is empty, which means they now are waiting an exponentially longer line, because the old fast pass ratio for a new attraction was 9 to 10. It was nine, or it was it might have been eight, but it was like 8 fast pass guests to 2 regular guests. So that means the fast pass line moves 80% faster than the regular queue, you know. So it's just something to keep in mind. It's all a numbers game.
It is. Yeah. I feel like We're still going on this, but I feel like we should mention a couple other things with it, because I didn't include in with Genie Plus. You also are getting, if you're at Disneyland, you will have Photo Pass included in that as well for the day. Unfortunately for Walt Disney World, you don't get that. You get augmented reality lenses that they kind
of... Who cares?
But I think in my speculation on this, I'll let Mike answer it. I think the thing is with Walt Disney World, they are looking at an average game. And I think they're going in with the mindset of, okay, you have a 7-day stay. You might not choose to put Disney Genie Plus as part of your plans or at all. And if you're staying for 7 days, you probably already wanted to buy a photo pass package. So it's not necessarily as needed for that. That's just my perspective.
Well, my thought as well is that at this point you have people that have already pre-purchased Memory Maker.
Yeah, thank you.
All the way into like 2022. So my thought is they may be doing the AR stuff and eventually it will be incorporated further down the road, maybe. But it's hard to tell. But you also have those people that may not want to do. They may not want the Genie Plus ride access, but they still want their photo access, you know, depending on what, I do believe that part of the reason that Disney is doing this is to offer more options and flexibility to people. So getting rid of Memory Maker at Disney World doesn't necessarily make sense for all guests, especially those that, you know, are going to just do the regular Genie option and not upgrade or anything like that. So that's kind of my thought on that piece of it. I will say the AR stuff, if you've not played with it, is kind of cute. They tested it through Snapchat for a while, 6 or 8 months ago, and they are really cool. But it's not comparable. It's not a comparable benefit when you compare it to the Disneyland Photo Pass benefit versus Disney World having AR stuff. Now, my guess is that further on down the road, it may become part of that, and you know, that's when the price jumps on the per day price at Disney World. But at the moment, my guess is it's partially also because they've pre-sold a whole bunch of Memory Maker. So if they were to do this, they then have to there'd have to be a plan for refunds, and nobody has time for that.
Well, it's interesting at Disneyland too. Right now, at least right now. So when I was just there, I'm still a Legacy Pass holder. I think it just ended this week or something like that. But I still got discounts on some stuff, but it didn't include the photo pass in it anymore. And I will say there was moments where I was by myself and I was like, oh, I want to take a picture in front of the Avengers campus. And this is the first time it's ever happened to me where I was like, there's nobody to take a photo except for the photo pass person. The one time it's no longer included in my pass, and they don't let the cast members take the phones from the guests to take the pictures anymore. So right. I was like, can you take my picture? And they're like, sorry, we can't touch your phone. And that went for every cast member, not just photo pass people. So I was just like, oh, okay, that's okay. And that's fine. And the picture was terrible. So I didn't really lose out too much, but.
Yeah, I get that too. And I don't know. AR stuff. I never got on the Snapchat bandwagon. So it's just beyond all me, I think. But I agree with you. They've already sold Memory Maker. I think they can continue selling Memory Maker outside of this. So Walt Disney World, it makes less sense to include it in an option versus Disneyland. Also included, you will have audio experiences, which is so weird. And again, what annoys me about it, it's another way to keep you on your phone instead of looking around and experiencing what's actually around you. But
I guess my question is, I want to know what these audio experiences are, because the little video they had is they tapped on it and then it made a noise, but it transitioned right away. So is it just going to be I can listen to the in-park music from my phone that I could already hear from the speakers? Or is there going to be something else that's you know, that you may get on one of the walking tours that they would have told you, or, you know, little snippets of things like that? We don't know enough to know if it's going to be as underwhelming as it already seems to be on the audio experience piece.
Yeah. I assumed that it's just going to be either Bob Chapek or Josh DeMauro constantly chiming in and telling you about special offers and, you know, if you walk 50 paces to the right, you're going to see the famous Disneyland Little Red Wagon corndog cart. Why don't you stop by and tell them that you want yourself a good, hot, delicious corn dog.
And occasionally Stitch will pop.
Talk about it.
And occasionally Stitch will pop up and ask you about your car's extended warranty.
Of course.
We've got a deal for you here. Yeah,
it's
pretty much.
It's got to be all that. And also need to mention, should have mentioned it, I think, about 45 minutes ago at this point. But for park hoppers out there, Disney Genie Plus will also be part of park hopping. So you will be able to, once you get to the point where you want to park hop, you'll be able to book an experience at a different park later in the day. Right now, as of this current second, Disneyland is park hop after 1 o'clock PM and Walt Disney World is park hop after 2 o'clock, which, you know, they had to include this. So it's not really a surprise, but we have to mention everything.
Yeah.
And what else with it? I think that, and then also I'm not going to get into it because I'm not comfortable enough with this yet. Maybe we'll have an update come Tuesday, but DAS, Disability Access Service, will be enhanced with new options to enroll in the service pre-arrival. And then also with that, DAS participants can select attractions directly in the app, but they will also still have the options available in addition. These options will be available in addition to the current existing in-person DAS program that they have too. So DAS, you're getting a little bit extra, more options than you had before, but at the same time, too, if you just want to continue using DAS like you have in the past at the parks, you should be able to just use that as well, too. If
I was going to say they've been updating already the guest services DAS page on at least DisneyWorld.com has got some more information than what they put in the initial press release. I think what's going to be really nice is guests can do the pre-enrollment through the app with a video chat with a cast member. So they don't have to go to guest services necessarily when they arrive and stand in line to get it added to their stay, which will be really nice. I think that's a huge benefit for guests that need to use DAS. I think the other piece too is with that, they're going to be able to pre-select some things before they get to the parks. But I'm not clear on what that looks like quite yet and what the limits are.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
A lot of that's over my head. I will not pretend that I understand a lot with DAS because it's a service that I don't use. And I should know about it considering we're supposed to be experts. But I like to ask the travel agents because I feel like you're supposed to be even more of an expert than I am. So I'm Craig.
Or Greg, we do our best. I was gonna say we do our best. I'm working on trying to get a little more information on those changes, just because I have a few clients that are asking as well. So, but yeah, right now it's very vague what they've said, except for the pre-enrollment and eventually being able to book some stuff before you get to the park. But what that actually looks like, and what attractions that includes, and how many, etc., has not quite been fleshed out yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's start winding this down here. And I'm going to kind of keep an eye on chat. If you have any more questions that we didn't answer, keep in mind, if you haven't been watching since the beginning, we might have answered some of them. But if you've been watching basically the whole time, we weren't clear about something or we didn't answer something that was big, please, now's the time to leave it. I'll ask the first question, though, to both myself. Not just both, but both to Mike Rhino as well as myself. They said fall 2021 that this is coming this fall. When do we actually think it's going to roll out?
I would say before the 50th, before October 1st, I think.
Okay,
I think that'll be part of their like, look, we made a new thing. Look, we told you new things were coming. And so I think they're stressed about being like, yeah, we're starting a celebration where we don't really have anything new, so we're trying to push whatever can be considered new as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I think that their target is going to be before October 1st. Now, whether or not it's ready, I think that's the bigger question. But that would be my guess, is October 1st being the sweet spot.
Yeah. Well, because it would be nice to have it in place working, at least at Walt Disney World, for the 50th anniversary, but you also don't want to launch it right on the 50th. And everyone remembers, oh, you remember that anniversary where they launched a disastrous program? That would definitely be a sticky situation, to say the least. So it would be cool if they could launch it a little bit early and then have it perfected by the time the 50th rolls around. But you know what? If they want to wait until a month after the 50th starts, wait until November. Technically, fall goes what, until like the third week in December. So, if they need to wait and let that pre-rush of everyone who wants to be here in October for the start of the 50th and make sure that it's a little bit calmer before they throw this in, I think I'm okay with that too. Again, I'm gonna use it and try it, but this is not something like, this isn't something that I know I'm going to do every time. So it's not like I want to start taking advantage of it as much as possible.
Right.
But I was going to say they probably want it because they're, you know, whatever's going on with the Delta variant and with COVID and all that stuff, like there's no question that there's about to be a influx of people, you know, an increase in the amount of people that are here. So I just imagine they want to take advantage of trying to squeeze every cent out of every person they can right now. Right. Yeah. That's the only reason why I agree with you. I think it'd be kind of crazy, like what you said, because if it fails, then it'll be like, wow, remember this colossal thing that collapsed like immediately right when we were supposed to start this like big celebration, you know? So
I say Magic Bands and Fast Pass Plus rolled out so seamlessly.
A lot of questions about annual passes, because I know that will obviously tie into all this too one day. Annual pass information at this time still isn't available, and I wish I had some insight to tell you the exact date that they were going to launch and be ready. And as soon as we know, we will tell you about that, I'm sure, in a million different ways. I saw
I was going to say one thing that I forgot to mention. If you're booked with a travel agent or you're booked, you know, directly through Disney, further on down the road, when it does come out, you will be able to add it like length of ticket. If you decide you want it ahead of time, that will be available. Something that your travel agent can do for you, once it becomes available.
Okay. So to clarify that, through your travel agency, like through you in Dreams, you could add it on for the length of your stay, or once you're there, you could just choose to do it yourself individually per day if you wanted to.
Right.
Okay. Excellent. 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 I saw one question about cast members in this method. You know, it's already hard enough for cast members to get into the park. I'm sure they will also be able to take advantage of this if they want to pay the money to do so. But again, it's just cast members actually have to get into the parks more. You know, they struggle more than any annual pass holder has to actually get in and have availability. But Disney loves taking money from cast members. They pay them money and they love it when cast members give it right back to them. My sister was a seasonal cast member for a long time, and the amount of money she booked on hotel rooms, even with her discount, I'm sure that she came out at the end of it actually owing Disney money, even though she was working for them. So, and not all cast members, of course, can do that or can afford to do that at all. You know, most full-time ones wouldn't, but yeah, when you start getting like big discounts on merchandise and hotels, it's easy to be like, oh, well, we'll just go to Disney and spend our money. So I'm sure they'll let cast members buy this as well too. In terms of international guests and Wi-Fi, we mentioned it at the top. We're just keeping our fingers crossed that the technology works and that Disney Wi-Fi improves, because if it doesn't work, people who rely on that, including the app that relies on that, it's going to be a disaster. So,
well, not only international guests, but those that don't have smartphones or those that don't have, you know, with the latest My Disney Experience update, you almost always have to have a newer smartphone as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's also going to be a big piece of how do you manage that for those guests in park? Is there going to be a way to? Because it sure doesn't sound like there is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw another comment here, not really a question, but it talked about like if you're not buying $15 per day, Genie, for the length of the ticket, you can just buy for specific days or specific parks. And that, of course, is an option too. I mean, once we get the lists of what attractions are available for Walt Disney World specifically, for Disneyland, you know, I feel like Disneyland, it's not so significantly different from Disney MaxPass that you kind of know. Most of the attractions at Disneyland are standby, and then FastPass is only offered. FastPass, or now in this case, Lightning Lane, is only offered at a smaller number of attractions, and that's pretty even across both parks with what offered FastPass or will probably offer for Lightning Lane. So it wasn't necessarily as daunting as Walt Disney World, with Walt Disney World having 40. You know, if most of the Lightning Lanes are in Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom, yeah, it doesn't make as much sense to have it at Animal Kingdom. You know, if Animal Kingdom only has Lightning Lane for safaris, Everest, and Dinosaur, and then Flight of Passage is a paid option, you know? So it's once we get the attraction list, we'll be able to make more sense of which are the parks where it's like, oh, you probably want the Lightning Lane if you really want to maximize your day. But till we have that, we don't know.
Now, do we think that they're going to like have a character like Lightning McQueen on the Lightning Lane marketing or themed per LAN, like Galaxy's Edge could be Emperor Palpatine with Force Lightning on the sign.
I am sure. Because what? When My Magic Plus launched, it was with the Incredibles, if I remember correctly. So
yes,
this will launch with IP.
Right.
But
I tell you, the Ka-Chow Corral, that person online has it.
There you go.
There you go. So do we have any last things we want to mention or try to clear up?
Nothing that I'm thinking of.
I just don't feel great. That's all.
That's fine. You don't have to feel great. And
Go ahead. The biggest question that I keep getting is no, you will not for Walt Disney World guests, you will not be booking fast passes or Lightning Lane things, even if you've added it in advance 60 days. It's day of.
That's an awesome, awesome change back. I like that. That allows for that spontaneity. And then, of course, remember, too, it's not per group. It is per ticket. So if you have a party of 10 and y'all want to utilize the system, each person who has a ticket has to pay for it.
So if I get it, I'm sorry. I think you mentioned it at the beginning, but my internet, like the cable, I literally saw drop out earlier. Fell out of the wall. If I'm gonna park hop and I bought Lightning Pass in the morning and I started at Hollywood Studios and I've done my a la carte Rise of the Resistance whatever and I'm just blowing out all the money I've ever saved in my life here, can I then go to Magic Kingdom and still be using it there on the attractions there?
Yes.
Okay, so it does work. It does work in that sense where it was like it's for the entire day. For that, whatever that type of ticket is. Okay. All right. Yep. Gotcha. I didn't know if it was going to be like you had to buy it when you got over there. I assumed it would work for park to park, but.
What I like for Walt Disney World too, is if you're on your way from Epcot or Hollywood Studios to Magic Kingdom, you can go ahead and get your, you know, see if there's a Lightning Lane available close to when you're getting there and get it while you're in while you're on the way there. Which I think is an improvement to the old FastPass Plus where you could book three in the park you were, you know, one of the parks, if you were hopping.
Yeah,
you couldn't book them across the multiple parks.
Yeah. Disney still hasn't said exactly what time it's going to start, if it's going to start officially with park opening. As far as I have, maybe I just didn't read it. I haven't read anything yet that has said Lightning Lane will be available the second the park opens up, because even back in the day with Legacy Fast Pass and Disney Max Pass and stuff, you got into the park and you booked it, but usually the Fast Pass time window didn't start for like until 20-ish right away, minutes after the park opened. So I guess what I'm trying to say is while rope drop to an extent might be kind of a lesser important thing in the future, it doesn't mean it's necessarily gone yet. It will be another thing that we just have to wait and see what time. If you can start using Lightning Lane as soon as the park opens at, you know, if Magic Kingdom opens at 9 a.m., if they're telling you can get in line at 9 a.m., then yeah, it's going to take a lot of strategy out of rope dropping. But there are people who will always refuse to wake up early. They do exist outside of this.
I was going to say that also makes it a little unknown as to what's going to happen with the 30-minute early entry benefit for resort guests as well. Because my guess is it won't start until, I mean, like the old FastPass, my guess is maybe 9:30 if Magic Kingdom opened at 9. 9:30 might be the earliest and it'd only be standby up until then. Unless they're going to add in that early park access time, which just seems silly. To do that, to where you could book a, you know, Lightning Lane entry during your early access time. It seems weird.
Yeah.
If they were to go that route.
Yeah. But okay. Anything else? Nope. Okay.
No.
We are going to wrap up then, Mike, before we go, since you are our featured Dreams Unlimited travel agent on this special episode. Do you want to tell people how they can book a vacation through you?
Yeah, you can send me an email at mike@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com is the easiest way. You can also find me on Instagram. I think Yeah. I was going to say, I was trying to remember my screen name there. I can't remember. So yeah, just shoot me an email, mike@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And when I send you an email back, my Instagram's on there. That's the other piece. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll check your email that I have back and forth from you, and I'll make sure I add that into the description as well too, so everyone knows how to get in touch with you. And also, you know, if Mike's not your agent at Dreams Unlimited Travel, of course your agent will be able to help you. And if you think Mike's too busy to help you and other agents are too busy, you can always just go to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, put in a quote for a vacation, and you'll get assigned an agent, and you can handle it that way. But hey, I think Mike just made a pretty good pitch for why you should now go through him directly. I feel like I couldn't have done this without you. I'll just tell you that much.
Well, thanks.
Yeah,
I try.
I feel, and I couldn't do it without you either, Rhino. I feel like garbage right now, and I've been sweating more and more as this has gone on. I cannot wait to stop talking and try to feel a little bit better, but it was important, and we wanted to you know, get not really go over the information. You've gotten it from a million other places, but kind of give our current speculation on it and our thoughts and feelings on it. So thank you both. Thank you to Mike and Rhino.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone out there who watched or listened to this. We really appreciate you. I already mentioned Dreams Unlimited Travel, but as always with YouTube, if you haven't taken a second to subscribe to the channel, please do so and hit the thumbs up if you enjoyed it or found it helpful, and leave comments, questions, and video suggestions in the comments section. And then also for people who consume our podcast through audio, also make sure that you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and that you leave 5-star ratings and reviews if it's specifically through Apple Podcasts. But that's going to do it for all of us going over Disney Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, IAS, and a lot of other confusing topics. We'll be back at least on Tuesday with even more thoughts and feelings about Disney Genie Plus and so much more on our Walt Disney World Edition podcast. Everyone, I hope you have a great week. If you never see us again, I hope you have a great life. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.